And great to see you all here in the Lord's house this day. And last week we had fun. It was the snow and ice. You survived the blizzard of 2016, and some of you had school canceled, and you loved it. My wife, being from Michigan, was like, it's not a problem out there. We're used to this, driving around, and some folks even walked to church. My family walked to church. Some of us were driving around, and we survived the blizzard. You know, being from Michigan, she says, I love that we live in North Carolina now, because you know, you get the four true seasons here in Carolina, and you get them all in 1 week, right? I mean, I look at some of you guys are wearing short sleeve shirts today. Short sleeves, and some of you guys wearing them last week. It doesn't, yeah. And glad you're safe. Glad you're here. It is good to be together. It is good to gather together as God's people and to gather around the Word of God. And listen, some of you say every once in a while, it's like, man, why don't we just do something more fun or funner, whatever your words are there. And, you know, here's the thing that we are completely convinced of at Richland Creek, especially if you're visiting today. Let me say this. In the long run, you and your family greatly benefit when we go line by line through the Word of God, line by line through the books of the Bible, even as the Bible itself testifies that we receive the whole counsel of God's Word. And I often relate that to growing up and sitting with my feet under my mom and dad's table. There were some meals that weren't so exciting. There was the broccoli, and there was the spinach, and there was all that. And every once in a while, you know, you had the fish and the meatloaf, and you're like, ah. But all of it, and the love in which it was served, in the long run is good. And in the long run, as we work our way through the Scriptures, whether you're here today and you say, man, that text just didn't light my fire, it's the Word of God. It's the whole counsel of God's Word that we're after. And I am convinced, and I know you are becoming convinced and are already convinced, that we want to receive the whole counsel of God's Word, and that's called expository preaching. And that is where we receive the whole counsel of God's Word line by line through the books of the Bible. And that way God speaks to us about all matters of life. And honestly, it requires discipline. And if you want to be in good shape physically, you know there's a discipline to waking up early and finding that routine and working out and eating healthy and all the things that come along with the discipline of being in good shape physically. In the same way, there is a discipline of being in good shape spiritually. As we pray, as we do the things that God has spoken to us about, and as we take in the whole counsel of God's Word. And so we're committed to the whole counsel of God's Word, and we have come to know and to love and to understand that God's Word is truth. And so God's Word is what we lift up. And Jesus is that Word of God. And we exalt Jesus in this place today. Amen? We lift up Jesus Christ. And if you're visiting with us today, I want to encourage you to keep on coming. I want you to bring your Bible as we dig into God's Word together, as we learn that discipline of taking the whole counsel of God's Word. Now, in front of us today, we have an incredible and a beautiful passage of Scripture. We are journeying through the Gospel of John. And the purpose of John's Gospel, he clearly states. He says, I write these things to you so that you might believe, and that by believing you would have life, eternal life, in his name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. And we've seen a lot of opposition come against Jesus as he was teaching. This world under the dominion of Satan opposes the purposes of God, the promises of God. It opposes the people of God. It opposes the truths that we find in God's Word. And yet Jesus continues to speak truth. And as we approach this passage now in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31, I want you to imagine, if you will, a large chain, a heavy chain of bondage around the people of this world. It's a chain in which nobody is able to take it off of themselves. You do not have the wealth to remove it. You don't have the ability in your own strength to remove it. You don't have the wisdom. You are unable to remove this chain. And we are in that bondage, wrapped in that chain of spiritual bondage. Jesus is going to speak to those who have gathered in this temple area about the bondage that we are under in the dominion of darkness, under Satan's rule in this world, and that dominion and that bondage to sin. So he's going to speak to us today about a spiritual freedom that we can find in Christ alone. He is the one who can liberate us. And so it's a tremendous passage. There's much here. Honestly, we could just read a word or two and just stop and think about it for a while. And I want to encourage you, as you read through God's word throughout the week, to not just read through it quickly, but to meditate on it, to marinate and consider the great truths and the promises that we have in Christ. Now, think about that chain as we work through this text today. This text speaks to us about discipleship, speaks to us about truth, and it speaks to us about freedom. And throughout the history of humanity, mankind has sought to be free. Maybe you saw the movie Braveheart. That's a guy's movie. And we see William Wallace. And he doesn't want to be in bondage to England. And he cries out, "Freedom!" And we're all like, "Yeah, freedom!" Or maybe you've heard the quote from one of our founding fathers, Patrick Henry, who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." He would rather die than be in bondage. And on a hot summer day in August of 1963 in Washington, D.C., Martin Luther King stood there with thousands crowded around the mall there in D.C., and he stood there in front of the Lincoln Memorial, the president who abolished slavery, and he stood in that place in his famous "I Have a Dream" speech, and he concluded that speech with these words: "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." And those were great moments in human history. And Jesus is speaking to us about freedom. But he's speaking about a different freedom. It's not a political freedom, not a financial freedom, not a military freedom. He's speaking about a freedom that is greater than all of these. He's speaking about a spiritual freedom, a freedom that the Apostle Paul tasted and he expressed to us. Though he was in chains in Rome, he was a free man. And Peter, and while he was in prison, he was a free man and he sang to the Lord. And the good news that we have today is that this freedom that God offers to us is available to every human being on this planet this day. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ we have this freedom available, freedom from sin available in Jesus Christ. And this is what he's speaking about. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. Now listen, he said, "If you abide in my word." Now he begins with a very large word, the word "if." And the idea, as we look at this passage of Scripture, as we look at and encounter God's Word this day, you are to take yourself and to press yourself into the Scriptures. If you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look at what he said here. If you abide, the word abide is to connect, to remain, to walk, to trust, to continue. You might ask me and say, am I a disciple, that is a follower or a learner of Jesus Christ? Am I a disciple? Well, here's what a disciple is. If you abide in my word, if you continue in my word, then you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't abide in his word. I don't trust. I don't continue in his word. Then you're not a disciple. You see how to read scripture here? He says, if you remain and continue in my word, two things. Number one, you are my disciple indeed. Well, I want to be a disciple. How about you? I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Remain in my word. Remain in me. Secondly, if you abide in my word, number two, you shall know the truth. I want to know the truth. How about you? I want to know the truth about creation. When I read God's word, then I know the truth and I know evolution is not true. Despite all the efforts of scientists and their limited knowledge and their false motives, whatever it may be, if I know God's word, then I know the truth. God's word always speaks to us about the truth. God's word is always right. Jesus always speaks the truth. Listen, God will never lie to you. God's word will always lead you into truth. Now, as we think about the history of mankind today, we think about truth. Some men deny the truth. There are atheists, and they try to bring lawsuits and scare tactics against the believer. Some men deny the truth. Some men reject the truth. Some men scorn and laugh at the truth when you speak to people about God's word. They laugh at it. They make fun of it. But yet the word of God has prepared us for these things. Some men persecute others who believe the truth of God's word. And some are indifferent to the truth. There are false teachers who distort the truth. And there are men who we read in Romans 1:18 who suppress the truth. And this is all in the world that we live in. We see it. Pilate would ask Jesus, before Pilate turned over the Lord to be crucified, he had an encounter with Jesus. And Pilate stood before Jesus. Pilate was claiming his authority. He had no idea that he was standing before the King of the universe. He had no idea that he was standing before the very embodiment of truth. And he asked Jesus, he said, what is truth? We learn when we read John 14:6 that Jesus is the truth. He's the very embodiment of truth. Everything that's opposed to him is false. When we get to John chapter 16, we'll learn about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that one of his job functions is to guide the believers, to guide us in all truth. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is the truth. God's word is truth. Jesus is the word. The Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to guide us in all truth. You get the idea that God wants you to know the truth. God wants us to know the truth and he's made it available to us. Jesus in his high priestly prayer to the Father in John 17:17 said, your word, O God, is truth. And so that you and I can trust and know that we have God's word in front of us and that it speaks the truth to us about all matters of life. And so Jesus now speaking here in this temple and speaking to us today, if you continue in my word, you are my disciple. Indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. Now, when Jesus says these words, those that heard him, some of them responded very proud of their heritage. They answered and said to him, look at verse 33. They said, "We are Abraham's descendants." They were talking about the physical descendants of Abraham. Not that they were the descendants of Abraham in the sense, in a spiritual sense, that they were children of faith. Abraham had faith and it was credited to him for righteousness. They were not trusting in that same way of faith. They were trusting in their religion. They were trusting in their traditions. They were trusting that they were the physical descendants of Abraham. Now, God has made certain promises to the people of Israel that are unconditional and eternal at that. But they were trusting in this idea that because we're the physical descendants, then we don't need this freedom that you offer, Jesus, that you speak of. We don't need that. And notice what they say. Not only are we Abraham's descendants, but they said that they had never been in bondage to anyone. Now, a couple things here. They misunderstood. They were thinking in a physical way. Well, let's address that. They could look around in the setting that they were in and open their eyes. They were in bondage at that very moment to the Roman Empire. You could have just simply looked around and says, "Oh, you've never been in bondage. Why is it that Rome taxes you? Why is it that Rome oppresses you and has dominion and authority over you?" In fact, let's just take it back to the beginning. This nation that was birthed, you went down into Egypt as a family with Joseph, and 430 years of slavery later, you were birthed out as a nation and you were born in bondage. You were born in slavery and servitude. Seven times in the book of Judges. And what about Babylon? When King Nebuchadnezzar came and he just absolutely leveled the city in three separate sieges beginning in 605, and he took you into captivity and leveled Jerusalem, and you were in slavery and in bondage for how many years? For 70 years. And God allowed them to go into bondage because they weren't listening to him. And not only that, with the Medes and Persians to follow, and Alexander the Great with Greece, and then the Roman Empire, and all those who have continually leveled the city of Jerusalem, and yet they say here in this moment, "We've never been in bondage to anyone." Well, that wasn't true not only physically, but Jesus was speaking about a spiritual bondage that only he could liberate them from. But they said, "How is it that you say?" Can you just imagine in that temple area that they shout back to Jesus and they said to him, "How can you say you will be made free?" And they didn't understand. And Jesus in verse 34 replies to them. Let's look at God's word together. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, and he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." Now, if you had the old King James Version, and when they had the Elizabethan language, it would say, "I say to you, whoever committeth." And maybe you like that. And it also implies that there is a continuing action, and that helps us out. He doesn't say if you've committed a sin once, even as a believer, you're in bondage to sin. But he's talking about a continual, unrepentant bondage to sin. That's what he's speaking about. Anyone who has the pattern and the lifestyle given over to sin, that person is in bondage. They are a slave to sin. Notice what he says about that. In verse 35, that person that continues in sin, he says this, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And the Lord gives us this beautiful analogy. You see, while they were claiming, now listen, these religious leaders and the Pharisees, they were so proud of their heritage, and they're saying, hey, we're free already. We've never been in bondage. Jesus is saying to them, you're wrong. You're in bondage now, not only physically, but I'm talking about spiritually. And so he's going to use this analogy to help them understand, no, they're still in bondage. Their religion could never set them free. The traditions of men and the rituals of men and the works of men, listen, will never set you free. It'll never take that chain off of you. It cannot remove the chain of bondage to sin. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus can set you free. Jesus can make you free, make you a son when you put your faith in him. And so he uses this analogy here between a servant and a son. You can imagine with me a large estate. And in this large estate, the father that lives there has many children. He has children who live in the estate, and he also has servants who come, and they have certain tasks throughout the day. At the end of the day, you and I would rightly expect that the children are going to stay with the father. They're going to remain in the house forever. But the servants, after they've completed their tasks, they're going to go away. They do not remain in the house of the father. And this is what Jesus is using to speak to them. If I set you free and you are a son, you belong to the Father, then you're free indeed. But as for you, you are simply slaves to sin and you do not abide forever. Notice the contrast with me. A son is free, free to come and go into the Father's house as he pleases. The slave is in bondage. A son is not in bondage. A son remains forever. The slave does not belong. And which one are you today? Are you a child of God? Or are you in bondage to your sin? Which one are you? And then Jesus makes this beautiful statement in verse 36. He ties it all together. He says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, and I want to say it's only the Son. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Truly free. And these are the words of the Lord. Now, I debated to show you a video today, and I, through discretion, decided not to. You see, Maddie, my 9-year-old, and I were watching a video this week. And let me just describe it to you. There was a large animal, cow, and it showed it for a while, and it had its neck between bars, and then there was a chain around it, and it just enough room to eat and to drink, and it fought against the bars, and it couldn't move, and it was in bondage. And after watching that for a little while, your heart just sinks, and someone says, let him free. And there it is, that chain. And then they show this man, he comes in, who had not known or been with, he comes in, and he just begins to greet this large animal, and he begins to get to know, and he's kind. He's kind to this large animal. And then he reaches up, and he takes that chain, and he maneuvers that, and he sets it free, and all of a sudden, this large animal begins to move, and he leads it out from the bars that he was in bondage to, and this large animal begins to move around on a stage about this size, and he's so happy he's moving around, and he keeps coming back to this one who set him free, and he's so excited. Then this man loads him up, and he takes him to a new place. He takes him to a new place, and there's hay, and there's good accommodations. And this animal, this large animal, is just running around, and he keeps coming back. And the video that Maddie and I were watching, it ends where this large animal just comes back to this man who's just sitting there. The animal comes and just puts his head up against the man, just as if to say thank you. He just stays there. Man, you can go and run. I know, and I will, but I keep coming back to the one who set me free. And Maddie and I enjoyed that video, but I said to Maddie, I said, actually, I know there's a lot of things that are not, I'm not calling anybody a large animal, okay? I know, it's bad enough I call you all sinners and myself. I'm not calling you a large animal, but I think you can get the parallels. I looked at Maddie and I said, that animal, that's me. That's all of us. Just in bondage to sin. The sin of anger and jealousy and bitterness and hatred and gossip and all the sin. You and I are guilty and we're in bondage to that sin. We are slaves to sin until the Lord comes and he sets us free. And then we're free to go. Not free to return to sin. What are we free from? Think about this. We're freed from the penalty of sin. And only Jesus can do this. You know why? Because only Jesus was the sinless Son of God who died for us. Think about who he is this day. Don't ever forget there's one God, one Savior. Jesus alone, the sinless Lamb of God that was slaughtered and paid the penalty for your sin. Jesus died for us on Calvary's cross, and Jesus conquered sin in that moment. And he conquered death when he rose again on the third day. And Jesus comes, and he takes off that chain, and he sets us free. Only Jesus is able to do this, and we are freed then from the penalty of sin. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, this is what God's word teaches us. We are freed from the power of Satan, freed from the dominion of darkness. Listen, we didn't have the ability. That large animal did not have the ability to free himself. And I know humanity, in all of his pride, says, I don't need you. They shake their fist at God. I don't need you. I'm free. And you may have the freedom to hop in your car and travel around these United States. You may have the freedom to take out your wallet and go and find a nice place to eat tonight. You may have the freedom to come and go. But I tell you, if you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are in bondage. You are in bondage in that chain of sin continues to hold you, and it's only Jesus Christ who can set you free. And these eternal truths are just as true today as when Jesus spoke these words. We see mankind in bondage to religion. In fact, that's what the word religion means, to bind up. Religion has people bound up. The thought that I can save myself binds you up. And Satan is the great deceiver. But if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, I want you to know that he loves you. That he's available to you. That he's the one who is able to set you free. Do you not see in these words? Even these who are trying to kill him, he offers this great invitation of love. And he says, if you abide in me and in my word, you're going to know the truth. And the truth is going to set you free. And then here, in verse 36, he says, and if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's the freedom that you and I so desperately need. And it has eternal ramifications. We've been freed from the dominion of darkness, freed from the dominion of sin, freed from this world. And what have we been freed to? We have been freed to love God, finally. I can love God in spirit and in truth. I can worship God in spirit and in truth. I've been freed to love. I've been freed to forgive. I've been freed to worship. And I have been freed to serve God. Listen, you don't have to go to church to remain saved. You get to go to church to worship the God who set you free. And just like that large animal returned to the one who set him free and said, thank you continually, we return. You don't have to give. You get to give. You don't have to worship. You get to worship. And that's how we exercise our freedom to our great God and Savior who loved us, who died for us, and who set us free. Amen. Now, if that doesn't get you excited, your wood is wet. There's no greater truth than this. There's nothing greater than this. Oh, that we would return to the joy of our salvation when God took that chain and God took that chain off our neck and we ran around and we praised the Lord and said hallelujah. And not only are we free, listen, there's benefits. You know, you can just stare at this text and, wow, look at this. You know, I don't know if you ever knew this. Do you know it's inevitable that on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday as I'm walking around and having different conversations, somebody points out to me, they'll say, Pastor, you were going through this text, but you didn't even mention this thing right here. And I thought, you know, have you ever seen an iceberg where just a little bit shows and there's a lot beneath the surface? I said, that's every sermon. But if you like, we'll just take the whole thing out of water and we'll stay here till dinner time. That'd be all right. You know, come on. There's a lot. This is the Word of God. And you can walk with the Lord for 100 years and you just scratch the surface. You're not going to exhaust the wisdom of God. I look at this text and I'm going, wait, there's 5 more things. Look at the benefits of being a disciple. If you're a disciple, you know what it means. You know the truth. If you're a disciple, you are made free. If you're a disciple who remains in God's word, you're not in bondage. If you're a disciple, you're a son. If you're a disciple, you abide in the house forever, for the Lord has set you free. Now listen. 2 responses. You're sitting here and you're pressing yourself up against the scripture and you say, man, I've been trusting religion. I've been trusting rituals. I've been trusting my good works. I can tell you, I'm looking at this passage of Scripture, and that chain is still on me, and I'm still in bondage. Well, I want to extend to you a promise. The good news from God's Word is that He's willing to set you free. If you'd come to Him in faith, He'll set you free. That's the promise, and that's God's desire. The beautiful thing is God's made it available to you. God desires you to be freed. And he who trusts the Son shall be free indeed. So if you're here today and you're lost, you're in bondage, and you know it, you have an opportunity to respond to God's promise, to receive Christ by faith and be set free. Maybe that's how you need to respond today. Maybe you're a believer and you're going, hey, I've trusted Christ. I've been set free. Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Lord, I want to leap for joy when I think about what you've saved me from, what you saved me to. And Lord, I get to give, I get to serve, I get to worship, I get to be a part of your master plan for the nations and for my life. Praise the Lord for all those things. And I want the Lord to speak to you and help you to understand as part of the Lord's plan, he sets you free that you might be a light bearer, taking the word of God, which also liberates others, to go around and share this gospel message with others. He uses you to go around and let others free. You tell them about Jesus. You tell them about the kingdom of God that is coming. And through the word of God and through you as his witnesses, God will liberate others. This is God's plan for you and how beautiful it is. And this is how you respond to this message, this passage of Scripture where the Lord himself speaks to us about the freedom. The freedom that we have, the spiritual freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Listen to these words once again and we'll pray. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, And the truth shall make you free. And if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word that you have given to us. Lord, I pray that we would consider the bondage that we were in before Christ, the chain that was upon us. Lord, we acknowledge in this place today that it's only through faith in Christ, it's only through Jesus that we can be liberated to love, to forgive, to serve, to worship you. Lord, I thank you for the salvation that I have in Christ. And Lord, while we may stumble along the way, we are no longer slaves to sin. For those who have trusted in you, Father, I pray that we would go and share this good news that would set the captives free. And Father, my prayer is that if there's anybody lost here that's still in that bondage, bound up in the religions, the traditions, the rituals of men, the idea that their own good works can establish their righteousness, I pray, oh God, you'd open their eyes and their minds that they would come to Jesus Christ by faith. Lord, that you might take off that chain and set them free. Lord, I pray for each person that has heard your word this day, that you would sow it deep into our hearts, that it would bring about the response that's pleasing to you. So have your will and your way, oh God, in this place this day, in the hearts of your people that have heard this word. We pray this in Jesus' name and amen.